Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. We are so happy to have on the phone with us today Hastings City Council Member at Large, Lori Brox, and she is here to recap the June 7th meeting. Lori, how have you been?
I'm well, Mo. Thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
Thank you so much. Well, thanks for calling in today. So first of all, we are both parents of kids that were in school. Where did the school year go? And especially, where did May go? What the heck?
It was the weirdest year. My kids were in school about 90% of the year, so I'm really thankful for that. And now they're home with me, so that's a huge transition for us, and we're trying to figure it out. But I know it was a hard year for teachers and students and parents, and so I'm thankful for the kind of year that we had and that it's over.
Absolutely. And we went right into the steamy summer months. So you are still doing your meetings on Zoom. Any talk about that behind the scenes about if you are maybe going to get together?
Yes. July 1st is the date we've decided on for in-person meetings. So in July, we will be meeting in person. And I assume that that means everything from HEDRA meetings to commission meetings to everything. So I think that July 1st has been landed on as the date. So we're definitely moving that direction, which is great. I'm really thankful that we can.
It is nice to see everybody face to face, isn't it?
It is. And what I didn't realize is how many, you know, just personable small conversations you have in person versus being on Zoom. We are waiting for the recording to go live. And so we don't always want to chit chat with each other or talk about our families or our dogs or sometimes that happens, but I think people are more closed, you know, because we're aware that there's a whole audience of people watching. And so those just those personal conversations that we have as a council with each other about our families and our activities and our kids and things like that, they don't happen. And so there's a lot of trust and relational capacity that we're missing out on. So I definitely look forward to seeing everybody in person again and just being able to smile at each other and without a mask.
No kidding. Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how your group will come together because you haven't been together as this new council.
Right. Yes, we haven't. We haven't been in person since, I don't know, I don't even remember what the last in-person council meeting was. It's been so long. So I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Well, let's chat about the meeting that you had on June 7th. And it was pretty straightforward, but a lot of things were covered. So tell us about some highlights on the consent agenda. And maybe I love how you explained what the consent agenda is in a previous conversation. Maybe explain that again for our listeners, please.
Sure. We have a consent agenda, 8th item on the agenda that are non-controversial items. They're items that are more procedural in nature, administrative in nature, and they're not anything that we're expecting to have any extended discussion about. So we get park bench donations sometimes, or we have licenses that we need to grant for massage therapy, or on this consent agenda for June 7th, we had a fireworks sales license at Cub Foods. We do temporary liquor license, charitable gambling permit, things like that. If there's going to be an outdoor music event or something that affects a public space, a lot of these things are things that people ask for and we're more than willing to grant. And so they end up on the consent agenda because they're not that controversial. A council member does have the ability to pull something off the consent agenda and add it to the regular agenda if they think it merits further discussion. So just because it's on the consent agenda doesn't mean it will stay there. And we occasionally do have things that a council member wants to talk about more than just a broad brush. So when we vote for the consent agenda and give it a nod, it basically means the whole set of things. So on this agenda, we had 17 different items that were on our consent agenda. Things like designating Rivertown Live as a special event, designating Rivertown Days as a special event. We had to designate an official newspaper, which was previously the Pioneer Press. We have now changed it to the Hastings Journal. So that resolution is part of the consent agenda that we approved. And we occasionally have grant agreements that we need to write for different grants that we either receive or give. Like we were doing some some grants through the CARES Act. There's a grant agreement the business signs and we sign, kind of a legal contractual document. So these are all things that we do in the course of city business that aren't necessarily up for public discussion, although they could be. So those are some examples of what's on the consent agenda this week. And we had a donation from the Doffing Fund for the Music in the Park series that will be next summer at the Pavilion. Those kind of things, you know, we aren't going to say no when someone wants to donate some money or a park bench or something to the fire department. So they end up on this consent agenda and we end up accepting the whole thing as one whole. So that's basically what the consent agenda is and kind of the nature of the items that are on there.
So I know at the beginning of your meeting, you always open it up for comments from the audience. And there was a big topic that kept coming up last night. Tell us about it.
Yes, we have a request from a citizen to open up the discussion about backyard chickens again. This is something that I, as a council member, have seen. This will be the third time we've looked at an ordinance change which would allow people to have backyard chickens on a specific parcel. So I think a parcel is considered an acre of property and you could have up to 4 chickens. And so there's logistics behind that. There's a lot of details about what that looks like. We have talked about it before. The last time we talked about it was in 2019. And at the time, we had a lot of other things going on, and I remember that we talked about tabling it for the time being because we had more important topics. For some reason, backyard chickens, people can be very in support of it and also very against it. We have heard both sides, but I would say this time, there does seem to be more support for backyard chickens than I have seen in the past. So I don't know what the reason for that is, but it seems like as there are younger families moving in, people that are younger than myself, there is a desire for some sustainability in moving the food sources closer to home and literally on your own property, gardening, having backyard animals. So this has been a trend for several years, and I've seen it sort of develop over time. So I'm not surprised that we're talking about it again. Happy to talk about it again. We have a member of the public who's created a Facebook group and gathered signatures and a petition that she's presented to the council about addressing this issue. We are going to be taking up the discussion about backyard chickens again, and we're sending it to the Planning Commission next because they will be looking at the ordinance afresh, because we had an ordinance drafted and it had certain requirements, but it was never adopted by the City Council. It kind of starts the process over from scratch because it was on the table for so long. We kind of have to start the process over. So we'll send the topic and all the staff research and all the knowledge that we've already gathered about backyard chickens to the Planning Commission. They'll make a recommendation to the City Council about the ordinance language and what they suggest, and there will probably be public comment at that meeting, and then we'll take it up at the City Council level with a recommendation from the Planning Commission. I expect that to take June and probably at least part of July. I know there is some urgency to the request. People that want to have chickens want to do it soon, but I also did tell one person that talked to me about chickens that we change laws slowly over time for a reason, because we don't just change with the topic of the day. We want to make sure that when we make a change to our ordinances, it's deliberate. And we have council members who have voted against a chicken ordinance in the past that want more information. They want to know the history, why we had this ordinance that came into the city charter to begin with of not allowing chickens. What's the history behind that? You know, why was that ordinance drafted? And so we want to take all of the current considerations, past discussions, the language of the ordinance into consideration and sort of take that as a whole. And just gathering all that information, organizing all that information takes time. So we are going to talk about it. I think it's just going to be a discussion over the next month and a half or two.
Lori, when it was brought up at council before, was it you had to live on an acre lot?
Well, originally, the only place in Hastings that allowed chickens was the Leduc.
Yes.
And the Leduc they figured out how many acres the Leduc property was, and I think that was kind of how the ordinance was written. So I don't remember what the number was, but the idea is that, you know, you need enough space on your property to spread things out. And one of the questions at the council meeting from Councilmember Vaughn was actually, how do we define a parcel? Because I think the language in the ordinance says a parcel of land And so we want to make sure that we all understand, you know, how big does a parcel mean? Does it mean a quarter acre lot like my house is on? Or does it mean an acre? What exactly does that parcel language mean? So that is one of the things that is going to have to be vetted out and made sure that we all understand who is going to have the opportunity to have chickens, because we want it to be fair. Another thing that was brought up was, do neighbors need to be notified? Because the current ordinance draft that we looked at in 2019 did not have any neighbor notification requirement. And the thinking behind that is, if you're going to be a person who has chickens, it might be nice if your neighbors have a chance to, one, know about it, two, say something about it before it happens. That was another thing we discussed that's not currently in the draft ordinance, that I don't know whether that will end up being included or not, but I think the recommendation from one of the other council members was that we at least consider that as part of this new ordinance.
So if the ordinance goes into effect and backyard chickens are allowed, does each backyard chicken owner need to then apply through the city, or can you just set up your own coop in your backyard if there's an ordinance that says it's okay in the city?
Usually there's a license associated with it, because the city wants to track it, just kind of like we have dog licenses, and there is an ordinance that says that you're not supposed to have more than 3 dogs on your property. You kind of want to know who's going to have chickens and who isn't. So I think that's just a mechanism for us to check up on properties and make sure that the cleanliness, you know, the rules are being followed, that there's not any kind of nuisance problems or neighborhood problems that are coming as a result of a person having chickens. We heard from Corey Colvin, who has been one of the key people in the community researching chickens, that it's very rare in other cities that there is a call for nuisance or problems with chickens. It seems to be far less calls to code enforcement or to the police than dogs. So that was encouraging to me, because that was one of my concerns, as if all of a sudden my neighbors had chickens and I didn't really have anything to say about it, and it's smelly, or if someone doesn't keep up their coop, you know, there has to be a way of handling it. So I think there will be a license involved, and it will be minimal administrative overhead, but that's something that helps us as a city keep track of where they are and keep tabs on the status of the situation should there be a problem, which we hope there won't be, but it just kind of helps us track it. So yeah, I think there will be a license.
I know that you also chatted about some of the parklets downtown. Tell us about that.
Yes, we issued a license for Fireside Pizza, Fireside Social House, to have a parklet outside in front of their establishment downtown on the corner on 2nd Street. There's one in front of Sparrow Brewery, El Mexican, Busted Nut, and now there will be one in front of Fireside's establishment. The Onion Grill also has one, and I really do like the ambiance that the parklets are creating. It is really nice, and of course we do get concerned about parking. Thankfully, we do have a new parking ramp that's been established on the corner down there, so there is more places for people to park. But I think it's exciting to see people sitting outside, enjoying live music at various places, and enjoying the weather to the extent that we can. It's really hot right now, so I don't know how many people are sitting outside. I don't mind being outside when it's 95 degrees, but I know that my husband would rather be inside if it's anything above 75 degrees. Kind of depends what kind of person you are. The parklets are adding a ton of ambiance. They look really nice. They decorated them really nicely with plants, and I think they just look great. So I'm really excited that all the discussions and all the conversations we've had with the downtown businesses, that they're able to do this. They're able to set them up, and they add such a cool ambiance to downtown Hastings.
Absolutely. Public Works, there was a resolution to adopt special assessments for 2020 infrastructure improvements. What was that all about, please?
Last year, when we did the 15th Street project, we've been kind of working our way down 15th Street and working on a total reconstruction of the road, including new curbs, sidewalks. They've already started the work on 15th Street. And last year, during COVID, we decided to defer any of these special assessments, which basically means that when your street is improved, there's a portion of that improvement that you pay for, because the idea is that it has added some value to your property. And so we have a formula that we follow to figure out, depending on how big your lot is, what your assessment will be. So we always have a public hearing and allow people to speak to the amount of their assessment. And we do a lot of neighborhood meetings in advance of that, and there's a lot of background work that goes into it. But basically, the final special assessments list is everybody who lives on the street that's being worked on, the cost that it's going to cost to them and what that looks like, and then to provide some options for payment of the special assessment. There's different options that we provide. You can pay it all at once. You can pay it. So these assessments won't be totally due or on property tax rolls until next spring, so spring of 2022. We also have a program where you can assess it to your property and then pay it off over 10 years at an interest rate of 3.5% or thereabouts, somewhere between 3 to 5%, depending on the rate that we're able to give. So there's a bunch of options that you have for paying off special assessments. But this is all these assessments for everyone who had their street work done last year, everybody whose street is being worked on this year, final amounts for what they're going to pay, both residential properties and commercial properties, and then providing them some options with how they can pay those assessments. A large portion of the street project comes out of the general fund and the money that we all pay, but then there is some money that is paid specifically by each property owner, and that's basically what this is all about.
And then I know you also are establishing a disease tree hardship relief program. Tell us about that.
So we've had a lot of discussions, and this is something that Councilmember Foltz has been talking about for several years, and it's sort of one of the things she really cares about, is just that we stay on top of emerald ash borer. It is affecting trees all over Hastings, and anybody that has an ash tree, we recommend they get it treated or they consider taking it out. Obviously, treating it is preferable because we want to preserve all the trees that we can. But we recognize that if you are a person who has a large property with a lot of trees on it, it's possible that you would need to take out three or four or more trees. So what we're trying to do with this program is provide an option, another option for people who might have either a lower income or a high number of trees on their lot to get some assistance from the City of Hastings. We have a vendor that we work through, and we, for anybody that has boulevard trees, the city policy says that, you know, if you have a boulevard tree that's yours, you're responsible to take care of it. That includes treating it for emerald ash borer. But in certain situations, we recognize that we can do some to assist with that, because we have, as a city, we have an interest in keeping our trees on our boulevards, keeping them healthy and treating them. So if you meet certain requirements that are listed in this program, if you have a certain income or you have a large number of trees, more, which means four or more, that need to be treated, we can split the cost with you, where the homeowner would pay 60% of the cost and the city would pay 40%. So it's a way to give some relief to people who might have to pay for multiple trees to be treated or multiple trees to be taken down. If you've treated your trees, they usually don't need to come down. They don't usually die. Treating trees is a three-year process. You have to keep up on it every year. But if it happens that your tree is dead, or if you have to take it out completely, that can be a really expensive process. So we just recommend that everybody know what kind of trees are on their property and keep track of this, and contact the city forester if they have any need to identify a tree, or if they are interested in removing trees and taking advantage of this hardship relief program, because we can spell out all the details.
Lori, thank you so much. Hastings City Council Member at Large, Lori Brox, thank you for recapping the June 7th meeting, and the next City Council meeting will be on June 21st. And you are listening to another edition of Community In-Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.